lying on his bed, nearing death. No. In addition to this awesome burden, the Jews of the great Jewish community of Krakow were forced to wait. And wait anxiously they did for word from the Rav himself just who would be named as his humble successor. Oh, they waited. For days they came and prayed and stood waiting for word of a miraculous recovery that never came. Till one long and dark day, when suddenly the Rav called for the heads of the congregation and told them just whom to appoint as their new Rav.
Jews, our Rav has spoken. He has made his will known who is to be his humble successor.
Yes, the Rav of Krakow did indeed choose the man who would lead his flock anew. And just who would this be?
The new Rav of Krakow.
For Pinchas the scholar, whose breadth of learning was legendary far and wide. Reb David the generous, whose great fortune was always made ready to help those in need. Or perhaps Reb Yitzchok the pious, whose godly ways inspired each and every man, woman, and child who saw him. Maybe it would be one of the Rav's righteous sons. No, it was none of these men, but
Moshe the Wasserschlepper.
Reb Moshe the water carrier. The Jews of Krakow were dumbstruck. There must have been a mistake. Why, it's a joke. An outrage! A mere toiler? A common man! Appointed Rav of the great community of Polish Jewry? No, it was not a joke. And when the holy Rav of Krakow had passed on, the trusted leaders of the community did all they could to fulfill his last request. So they searched all around town for the humble Reb Moshe, until they found him behind the shul, under his cart, the better half into his midday schnooze. He had been schlepping water since finishing his prayers early that morning, and now had found the time to catch a good sleep. Well, you can imagine Reb Moshe's face when the elders crawled down on their hands and knees to tell this simple Yid that he was the community's new Rav. Of course, Reb Moshe protested in the most uncertain of terms. I'm not a Rav, he said, or a scholar. I wouldn't know a thing about making a legal decision. But it was no use. The congregation elders wouldn't hear of it. They assured Reb Moshe it would be all right. Just be our Rav, they told him. We'll pay you well. Your water-carrying days are over. So, that was it. Reb Moshe the water carrier became the new Rav of the honored community of Krakow. And, as promised, he didn't do a thing. He didn't answer questions, didn't teach, didn't discuss complicated legal matters, didn't marry new couples, didn't write divorces, didn't counsel the community elders. Whatever it is that a Rav is supposed to do, he didn't. Well, this went on for weeks, until one day the government announced a new decree. The Jews were from that day to hand over every copy of the Talmud to be burned in public. The community elders met urgently with Reb Moshe for his advice on what to do. I have no idea now, Rav told them. But after the Holy Sabbath, you'll have your answer. So they left. But when they returned after a few days, the Rav was not to be found. After searching the surrounding villages and towns, they came to an innkeeper who told them,
Why, yes. A few days ago, a simple Jew came in here and asked to rent a room. He's been in there ever since and never left. Didn't take anything to eat and nothing to drink. I have no idea what's going on in there.
So the elders looked at each other and went off to see this stranger in his room. When they opened the door, who do you think they found?
Mazel Tov! You came at the right time. Thanks God that evil decree is no more.
There sat Reb Moshe with a wide smile on his face. He said that he had to leave. The noise of Krakow was just too much. So he had to leave to the quiet of that little room. For the last 3 days, he explained, he had been reviewing each and every word of each and every tractate of Talmud with the commentary of Rashi, reciting them by heart, without missing one.
Thanks God. If I didn't review the entire Talmud, the evil one would have won. The government would have had its way, and our precious books would have gone up in flames.
A group of Hasidim of Rabunim of Shishkar once sat in the anteroom of his study, waiting for an audience. Rabunim had stepped out for a few minutes, when suddenly a modern-looking fellow came in and insisted on seeing the Rebbe immediately. The Hasidim explained that the Rebbe was momentarily absent, but they were suspicious, for they weren't used to modernim, as they were called, being counted among the ranks of the Rebbe's Hasidim. His dress was also strange. Long pants, short coat, styled hair, and most unusual, a rolled-up beard, making it look trimmed. So they tried to convince him to leave before the Rebbe returned, for they were quite certain the Rebbe would take one look and be most upset by the sight of this transgressor. When this modern saw the commotion caused by his visit, he quietly stepped aside and found his way out. When the Rebbe returned, the Hasidim told him all that had happened with the man. On hearing this, the Rebbe began to shake with anger. He commanded his Hasidim to find the man and bring him to the Rebbe at once. The Hasidim spread out over the streets and alleyways of Peshitta and eventually found the man and explained to him that they were commanded by their Rebbe to bring him to him. So the man returned with them and was brought immediately into the Rebbe's private office. Of course, the Hasidim couldn't control themselves. They just had to know what was behind this mystery. So they pressed their ears against a crack in the door and heard the following conversation. The man asked,
"I've come to ask your advice. I've been made two marriage propositions. One is with a very beautiful woman, but she's from an unknown family. Whereas the second is from a well-known family, but she isn't good-looking. What's your advice?"
At this, the Hasidim were filled with astonishment. How could this modern be bothering the Rebbe with a matter that couldn't possibly be true? For the Hasidim knew that enlightened people like these moderns never ever got involved in formal marriage propositions. But what could they do? The Rebbe himself was listening carefully to all that this man had said, and was in fact treating the man with the utmost respect. So the Hasidim became even more curious as to what the Rebbe's answer would be.
"The beautiful one is the better one,"
the Rebbe said after thinking for a long moment. This modern accepted the Rebbe's counsel most graciously and quickly took leave of the Rebbe and left. When the Hasidim heard what the Rebbe had to say, they were in even more shock than before. After the man left, the Rebbe came out of his study. How? How could the Rebbe be fooled by such a heretic as that modern? The Hasidim all wanted to ask, but didn't. To which the Rebbe smiled and said,
"A woman? Marriage? So you think you know what this Jew really was asking me? I will tell you what was his question. This good Jew was not interested in anything but his studies of Torah. He asked me if he should continue his study of Kabbalah according to the way of the Ramak, the mystic Rav Moshe Cordovero, a long, well-known tradition, or according to the way of the Arizal, the mystic Rav Yitzchak Ashkenazi, new and unknown, but stunningly beautiful. My answer? To study according to the way of the Ariza, of course."
There was a time in days gone by when all of the tzaddikim personally knew the Lamed Vavnikim. Among those tzaddikim was the founder of Chabad Hasidus, known as the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Leadi. This classic story has been passed down from generation to generation among the Bavitcher Hasidim. Only recently has it been written down. In a little house outside of Liozna in Russia, lived one of the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe. He was a school teacher, a Malamed. His livelihood, to say the least, was meager. His wife would bake rolls and pastries, when she could, to bring in a few extra rubles. Late one winter night, there was a banging on this Chassid's door. He ran quickly to open it, only to find a stranger, a Jew, half frozen from the cold. Of course, the Chassid and his wife brought the man inside and warmed him back to health. In silence, they sat with him as he ate and drank. They then lifted their little children off of the warm stove and made a bed there for their drowsy guest. But in the morning, when the couple rose to greet him, he was gone.
Mommy, Daddy, the man left his bag,
said their little girl. And indeed he had. A simple brown leather bag with no name and no address. Where to begin? How could they find this stranger in order to complete the mitzvah of returning a lost item? And they didn't even know his first name. We'll open the bag, they decided. Perhaps his name or address was written on something inside. They were shocked. The bag was filled with gold coins. Now they certainly didn't know what to do. So they went to the Alter Rebbe in Liozna.
The Holy One has sent you this treasure. It's meant for your family. Your guest will never come back for it. But don't tell anyone. Keep it a secret. I will tell you exactly what to do. Come back tonight.
The Rebbe told the Chosid to take a small amount of the money and open a business. After a year went by, the Rebbe told him to expand his business. Soon after that, the Rebbe advised the Chosid to go to buy merchandise in Moscow and to supply the stores in Liozna and the neighboring towns. He soon became a prosperous merchant, all the while remaining a faithful Jew and Chosid, always helping whomever he could, whenever he could. One day, the Rebbe called for his chosid and instructed him to travel to Germany. Buy your merchandise there at the cheapest price, the Rebbe told him. This way, you can supply even the distributors of Moscow with their goods. And, as before, the faithful chosid came to receive the blessings of the Rebbe. And this is where the story really begins. One time, the wealthy chosid brought the Rebbe a gift, a souvenir from a journey to Germany. Beautifully ornamented spice box.
This is a truly beautiful gift, my friend. Thank you very much. But next time, there is a much more meaningful gift that I will ask you to bring me. Do you ever go to the theater when you visit Germany?
The chosid was dumbfounded. He thought to himself,
the theater? Me?
You will do me a great favor if you would go to the theater next time. Go with shalom and bracha, my friend, with peace and blessing.
Our chosid accepted upon himself the Rebbe's wish and planned to go to the theater the next time he'd be in Germany. But in all honesty, he couldn't imagine why the Rebbe would send him to such a place. He had never even been in there before. The theater is certainly not a usual part of a chosid's life. But nevertheless, on his next trip to Germany, the chosid did his business, and on the last night of his stay, bought a ticket to the theater in Königsberg. The chosid took his seat in the last row and almost immediately fell asleep. He was so tired from his long days of business and travel that he couldn't stay awake to watch the show. As soon as the lights went out, he began to snore. After everyone else had already gone home, he was found sleeping in his seat. An usher woke him up.
Hey, the show's over. Why don't you go home? Say, what are you doing here anyway? A Hasidic kid like you. Where are you from?
From Liozna in Russia. My Rebbe sent me here, though I myself don't know why.
From Liozna? Do you know Zalmanyu?
Who is this Zalmanyu?
Oh, of course. You would know my friend by another name. I'm speaking of Rabbi Schneur Zalman. Do you know him?
You mean my holy Rebbe, Reb Schneur Zalman?
Of course, the chosid was taken aback by this tone of familiarity.
Of course I know him. He sent me here.
So in that case, send him my regards. I'm Karl, the usher. Have a good trip, my friend. See you again.
So the chosid came back to the Alter Rebbe and gave him Karl's regards. The Rebbe thanked him heartily and told him the next time he goes, he should once again come to the Rebbe's court first. A few months later, our chosid had to travel to Germany again, and he came, as always, to receive the blessings of the Alter Rebbe. This time, the Rebbe gave him a package to give to Karl the usher.
It's extremely important. You must take the utmost care with it and make sure that you return it to me. Don't let him keep it.
Again, the chosid went to Königsberg and again bought a ticket to the theater. And again, he dozed off immediately. He slept through the entire show, just like the first time. Again, the same usher found him sleeping in the same position.
Shalom Aleichem, my friend. I see you're back. Did you give my regards to Zalmanyu?
Of course I told the Rebbe. And this time he asked me to show you what's in this package. But I must tell you that I have clear instructions to return it to the Rebbe.
Our chosid gave the package to the usher, who opened it ever so carefully. It was a thick manuscript in